The House will come to order. Please stand. The flag salute will be led by Representative David Edwards.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony today will be presented by the Reverend Bingham Powell, who is the curate at my church in Eugene, St. Mary's Episcopal Church. Welcome.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech you to guide and bless the representatives of this legislature here assembled, that they may enact such laws as shall please you. Give them courage, wisdom, grace, and foresight to provide for the needs of all people, now and in the generations to come. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Courtesies. I would like to welcome Father Powell to the legislature this morning and appreciate his attendance.
Further courtesies. Our moment in Oregon history today will be presented by Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources, the Oregon History Project, and the Oregon Time Web. Black History Month, Dr. DeNorville Unthank. Dr. DeNorville Unthank, a dedicated doctor and civil rights activist, broke many racial barriers in Oregon. His professional and civic achievements made him a target of both social and institutional racism. And he was often barred from hospitals and excluded from medical societies, barriers he spent 40 years overcoming. Unthank was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania on December 14, 1899. He received his medical degree in 1926 and moved to Portland in 1929 to start his own practice. It was a time of profound racism in Portland when African Americans faced discrimination in jobs, housing, and social institutions, and it was not uncommon for political figures to associate with the Ku Klux Klan. Against this backdrop, Unthank chose to move his family to Portland's all-white Westmoreland neighborhood. Neighborhood representative offered him money to move away, but he refused and endured broken windows, harassment, threatening phone calls, and general hostility. Unthank would not back down. He was the first African-American member of the Portland City Club, president of the local chapter of NAACP, and co-founder of the Portland Urban League. He sat on Oregon's Committee for Equal Rights and the Council for Social Agencies. The Oregon Medical Society named him Doctor of the Year in 1958. In 1969, the city of Portland named a park after Unthank to honor his contribution to the civil rights struggle. I understand that park is in Representative Shields' district. When he died on September 20, 1977, he was eulogized by colleagues and friends from the medical profession and the many civic organizations he helped create. That's our sesquicentennial moment for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I was delighted that to hear about Dr. Unthank's place in history, because today I'm also welcoming some people who are involved in trailblazing in Northeast Portland's more current history. If you could step to the side aisle here. I'd like to, colleagues, if you could please welcome Jim Brunberg and Talia Avadia. Jim is the owner of Mississippi Studios, recording studio and music venue in my district. He is here to come and watch the proceedings around House Bill 2540 that puts musicians back where they belong under independent contractor tests. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
A courtesy and advocacy for a bill all in one, Representative Shields. Little borderline, but we'll let it pass this time. Further courtesies, Representative McCall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I would like to recognize representatives from the Oregon Student Association who are here today from Mount Hope Community College. They're up here in the gallery. Danielle Panel, Sam Pagano, Kristen Palmbed, Janine Ratzleff, and Chris Stokes. And I'd like to draw your attention over here to the right. I'd like to recognize students and faculty from the Greater Portland Christian Academy. Come on, stand up, guys. Come. We have fourth graders here today with the teachers, fourth grade teacher Janie Sorensen and Tally Hine, the school administrator. And lastly, Mr. Speaker, I request that the rules be suspended and the courtesies of the House and floor be extended to former Representative Lonnie Roberts.
Welcome to all of you, and Representative Call requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that courtesies of the House and floor be extended to former Representative Lonnie Roberts. Is there objection? So ordered. Welcome, Representative Roberts. Good to have you here. For the courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today I would like to welcome Ms. Jennifer Barrero as my honorary page today. She's 13, in the eighth grade at Leslie Middle School. She's interested in volleyball. She helps at a community center. She's a peer helper, and she's in the choir. She's a great student, and we're very pleased to have her here today. Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my great pleasure to introduce my honorary page today. Nick Maynard, age 12, in the seventh grade at Sandridge School in Sweet Home. He enjoys working on his El Camino, outdoor sports, hunting, and drama, and he hopes one day to be an attorney. Welcome, Nick.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some students, some honorary pages from Sandridge Charter School, so when I call your name, would you please stand? Allie Klein, thank you. Allie is 12 and attends Sandridge Charter School, seventh grade. She is interested in drama, volleyball, and basketball, and would like to either be a physician or a veterinarian. And I can just bet in 15 years, House District 17 has more veterinarians than any other House District. Please, Cameron Norris, if you would stand. And Cameron likes to ride his dirt bike and is into weightlifting and also wants to go to college to become a doctor. And then we have Kevin Carlson. Kevin is 13 in the seventh grade, also at Sandridge Charter School. And my son would love this. He enjoys movie making and wants to be a video game designer. So please, welcome to the House.
And Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to extend courtesies, if we might, to Claire Bell Olmos, who is here at from Leslie Middle School, and she wants to be a doctor someday.
We are glad to have all of our pages here. Thanks for taking your day to serve your House. Further courtesies. The clerk will now open the voting system for the purpose of verifying a quorum. Representative Richardson. Representative Richardson. Representative Wisnett. Quorum is present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 155, 160, 165, 186, 251, 288, 428, 19, House Bills 5015, 2202, 2284, 2298, 2312, 2321, 2323, and House Bill 2357.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 4, congratulating Heart of Valley Children's Choir on 25 years of achievement and service to youth of Mid-Willamette Valley.
Measure read for the first time is passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2841 relating to crime and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2842 relating to crime declaring an emergency and providing for a criminal sentence reduction that requires approval by a two-thirds majority. House Bill 2843 relating to crime appropriating money providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority and providing that this act shall be referred to the people for their approval or rejection. House Bill 2844 relating to recordation fees. House Bill 2845 relating to elections. House Bill 2846 relating to voter registration. House Bill 2847 relating to relocation of parent. House Bill 2848 relating to violation of parenting time plan. House Bill 2849 relating to state provided medical malpractice insurance and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2217 relating to criminal record checks by State Parks and Recreation Department. House Bill 2458 relating to commodity commissions.
Bills read for the second time are passed to the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2276 relating to Child Support Enforcement Services prescribes requirements for applications for Child Support Enforcement Services.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2276. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Representative Widener, how do you vote? Representative Widener votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2276, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
House Bill 2311 relating to service of legal documents clarifies that services of process or other legal documents is not prohibited for purposes of stalking, protective order, or restraining order under Family Abuse Prevention Act.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2311. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith votes aye. Representative Garrett votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Harker votes aye. Representative Thompson votes aye. House Bill 2311, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Berger, for what purpose do you wish to be recognized?
Mr. Speaker, I move that the rules be suspended and the courtesies of the House and floor be extended to former Representative Gene Durfler, who is also former Senator and former President of the Senate.
Representative Berger requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended for purposes of extending the courtesies of the House and floor to former Representative Gene Durfler. Is there objection? So ordered. Welcome, Representative Durfler. We consider that a higher calling than being a senator, so welcome, Representative Durfler. We are now under third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2419, relating to school nutrition standards in employee areas and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2419. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, when my wife first looked at this bill, she said, this is a dumb bill. And my wife is pretty smart. It is a dumb bill. We should have made clear what we intended when we passed 2650 in the last session, and B, the Oregon Department of Education should have used common sense when they began to apply the standards of what we intended in 2650 to schools. We passed 2650. It was a really good bill. There was a lot of debate about it, and the purpose of the bill was to create good nutritional standards on what's offered to children in the schools. And it talked about one set of standards for K-8 and another set of standards for high schools, and we dealt with the nutritionists, we dealt with the school people, and by and large we passed the bill. And it was about essentially what do schools offer, because the important thing was to create a healthy culture in the schools and to make sure what's being offered tell the kids what's appropriate for their behavior. So no big gulps, no Twinkies, no a variety of other things. As we debated the bill, we specifically talked about it not relating to adults. And we put in the bill, for example, that you could sell anything, any nutritional products of any nutritional value when events in school buildings were mostly for adults. We talked about should we try and get adults to change what they sent in the lunches to kids. We said no, that was a matter of parents' decision, and they were adults and they had a right to make a choice. Did we apply this to other places? No, we didn't, because it was about what we offered to children. The language of the bill does say these rules apply in a building. So the Oregon Department of Education decided that when they were going to apply it, they were going to apply it to faculty areas where kids are not allowed to come. That specifically is not what we intended and specifically is not what we debated. We have not had a lot of debate in the state about what we can sell in employee areas in a building. We have our lounge here. We have in each of the lounges on the floor, each of the staff areas on the floor, we have vending machines, and we hope adults make good decisions. I'm back working on Weight Watchers, thanks to PEB's ability to make Weight Watchers free, and I work hard to make the right choices. That's my responsibility as an adult. I urge you to vote for this bill, which exempts faculty lounges from the nutritional standards that we put in for the kids. For example, you can sell a Diet Coke in high school in a vending machine. You can't sell it in grade school. Why? Because high school has kids that are more mature. Well, under these standards, you can't sell Diet Cokes in faculty lounges for adults. It just simply doesn't make sense. So I ask you to join with me in voting for this dumb bill, a bill that shouldn't have been before us to begin with, but that corrects an error we made in our committee, one I take credit for, but returns the intent of the bill to where it ought to be. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
When I saw this bill in committee, I couldn't help but think back to the 2007 session when just about every education group in this building was pressuring all of us to approve the snack food ban in schools. And this list ranged from the American Cancer Society to Children First to Ecumenical Ministries, the PTA, Stand for Children, whole list of people. And I instructed staff to go through the testimony from that committee, and over again it said, adults need to lead by example. You know, and there's nothing in the law that we passed last session that prevents teachers or students from sneaking in the contraband turkey or Twinkie or the bag of M&Ms or whatever in their lunch sack. And frankly, I don't have statistics on this, but most people don't even have a vending machine in their place of employ. So really, this is the Vending Machines for Teachers Act of 2009. And, you know, here's a quote from one of the during the testimony in 2007. It says, this is from the American Heart Association. They said, adults must provide appropriate role modeling through their own behavior, that is, influence children to do as I do.
Could we have a little more quiet on the floor so we can listen to the speaker? Representative Thatcher?
Hey, thank you. I'll say the quote again. This is from the American Heart Association during testimony in 2007. It said, adults must provide appropriate role modeling through their own behavior. That is, influence children to do as I do rather than do as I say. And I think that that's what this bill is a do as I say rather than what as I do. And really, I think we have some more important issues to deal with when it comes to educating our children, and I wish we would get onto that. I urge your vote, no vote. Thanks.
Further discussion, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, last session, when the original bill came before us, I objected very strongly to us at this level making these kinds of decisions. I believed then, and I still believe, that individual school boards reflecting the thoughts and opinions of the local people should be making these kinds of decisions. I stand by that philosophical basis on this bill. I will oppose it. Again, this should be dealt with at the local school board level, not here. I urge a no vote.
Further discussion, Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, first of all, I want to give full and due credit to the carrier of this bill as well as some sponsors of this bill. It is my interpretation that their sponsorship of this bill reflects a constituent demand within their districts. And I appreciate that. That's part of our responsibility when we get constituent demands or constituent issues that come up to try to respond to those. I, for one, have, like all of us, have lots and lots of teachers in my district. I have not received one letter, phone call, or email demanding that this that we sort of dumb down, if you will, the law we did 2 years ago. So the rest of us that aren't addressing a specific finite constituent demand need to look at the state as a whole and good policy as a whole. Having said that, I just want to remind those of us who were here 2 years ago and hopefully just educate a little bit those who weren't here 2 years ago about the process that got to the original food nutrition bill. It was a well-vetted hours and hours and hours of committee testimony. It was a compromise bill. There was entities and parties from all over the spectrum.
Representative Bruin, can you yield for just 1 second? Representative Greenlee, for what purpose are you in the privilege queue?
The I'd like to object to the characterization that I'm responding to constituent demand. I think our motives are off limits in this, and it isn't true.
So, Representative Bruin, proceed in terms of the merits of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to the good representative, I wasn't, I just hope you know I was complimenting you, not doing anything less than that. Anyways, this bill was well vetted, lots of compromise, and the result was a bipartisan bill when we did this 2 years ago that I think we can all be proud of. This bill, I think we should be clear, at least the original bill and the current law, I think we should be very clear about what it is intended to do and what it wasn't intended to do. It was never intended to limit choice. If you don't believe me on that, we never prohibited kids or teachers, at least not at the state level. A school district or a school could make their own choices. But we never prohibited on the state level people from coming into the school bringing whatever they wanted to bring. They could bring their sodas. They could bring their Corn Nuts. They can bring their Twinkies. There was no limit on that. It was about setting the example, because we sit there in class, in health classes or just in the grade school classes, talking about good nutrition, having all that conversation, and they walk outside the classroom and the vending machines are full of, you know, supersized Snickers, and the school lunch lines were full of food that did not meet what we would call good nutritional standards. It was all about setting an example, not about limiting choice. I fear with this bill, if we pass this, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up, and we're setting teachers up, more importantly, for the accusation of hypocrisy. As the good representative said, do as we say, not as we do. I don't want to create that example in schools. Teachers will be fine with the current exemptions in the current law for bringing their own snacks in. Their ability to function correctly, I have a hard time understanding, will be helped or influenced by full access to the vending machines. Let's not put teachers in the position of being accused of hypocrisy, and let's not, and some of you remember this back, this term, you've heard the term shoulder tapping, and that's when somebody who's underage sits in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven or a Circle K, somebody who's 19 or 20 years old, and gets somebody that's over 21 to buy them some sort of beer or alcohol or something like that. Let's not set the same temptation up for a student to go to Mr. Jones and say, hey, Mr. Jones, can you score me a Snickers bar out of the vending machine in the teacher lounge? So, colleagues, I appreciate the carriers of this bill. I appreciate why they're doing this. I just think we need to keep the bill whole, the bill that we spent so much time and effort and deliberation on 2 years ago. Let's keep that whole. Let's not dumb down that good law with the good intentions of this bill. Thank you.
And colleagues, I would just remind us all, any issue on any bill is under free right for discussion. Our rules do limit us in terms of assigning motives, positive or negative, to any carrier of a bill or any other member of the House. So just a reminder about the limits and freedom of our House rules. For the discussion, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I'd first like to assure my colleague from the historic Tualatin County area that I have been the subject of compliments from the representative from West Lynn, and they are a little hard to understand at times, but I'm always terribly flattered by them. Just to reiterate the adage, do as I say, not as I do, I'd just like to tell you a little story about, you may have to yield for this, it's quite a story. No one's yielding. When I was much younger, as a young father, I had my two daughters at a fast food restaurant. And then back then, before I had seen the light, I was still dumping those little poisonous packages of sweetener furiously in my iced tea and my coffee. And I wasn't aware of this, but as we left, my then six-year-old first grader reached over and grabbed a handful of those sweet and low packets, and we headed for the door. And I said, whoa, 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 we don't do that. And her response was, yes, we do. So apparently, not that funny of a story, but nonetheless, makes my point that we often say, do as I do, not as do as I say, not as I do. I know of no yo-yo or dum-dum or ho-ho lobby that has come forward on this bill. If you want to change it, I'd vote for, similar to the representative from West Salem, I'd vote for repealing it and putting it where it should be, at local control, and starting from scratch. But the horse is out of the barn. And for us now to set up teachers for this kind of hypocrisy, I think is a big mistake. I say, let it stand. They can bring it in under the cover of night or in a brown paper bag. They can use the fridge in the teacher's lounge, or they can go two blocks in my district. They can go two blocks and get any kind of horrible fried or sugared food that they want. But it's out of the school, and we should leave it out of the school. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Dembro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to...
To the bill.
Yes. Go back to the point of restoring the decision-making to the local district. Supporting this bill will restore decision-making to the local district. I personally am not a fan of the things that are sold in those vending machines. I would love to go to the teachers and the districts and try to encourage them to take them out, but I don't believe that it's my job as a state legislator to tell them what they can sell or not sell to adults. It's one thing to keep soda out of the hands of middle school students, but I don't think we should be telling adults what they should and shouldn't be doing. This is a decision for the individual districts and for adults to make. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I was the other no vote in committee, and in committee there were a lot of conversations about do as I say, not as I do, and in fact we had a teacher who testified, and it was reported in the Eugene Register Guard that she was embarrassed, and I quote, "I don't think I'll be sharing this with my students," in her support of this legislation. But, you know, I frankly don't care what the teachers are doing in the teacher's lounge. Well, to an extent, I suppose. But in fact, have you gone and looked in your teacher's lounge? When was the last time you were in your schools? I think there are still school districts out there that have soda pop machines in their teacher's lounge. In fact, I went to my elementary school that my children go to, and in fact, they do have a soda pop machine in their teacher's lounge. They fill it themselves, so they're selling it to themselves. Maybe that's skirting the law, but they still have it. But you know what really bothers me about this bill? And it's Section 2, and let me quote to see if the soda pop machine rises to the level of concern that this body should be addressing in such dire times. This 2009 Act being necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health and safety, an emergency is declared to exist, and this 2009 Act takes effect July 1st, 2009. I don't believe this is an emergency. I will vote no on this bill, and I would like to work with the carrier of this bill to have that removed, at least on the Senate side. Let's bring a little bit of sanity back to this conversation. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I want to commend Representative who brought this bill back to us, and I hope that other committee chairs and members here who in fact see that unintended consequences come from their own actions, and they look at that and say, I need to take responsibility and bring it back here, because this is something that I've chosen.
I went and worked on, I made it happen, and things happened. You will have other bills this session which will address unintended consequences of bills that we have all voted on. And so I would hope that as you consider this bill, you put that in the back of your mind, that they're going to have other times you'll be asked to think about unintended consequences of bills we have. That being said, the language is clear, and I think the department and the implementation of it is exactly as the bill is written. And so truly it is our responsibility, if we think that something was done inadvertently, to bring it back here and have it aired amongst all of us. For me, the idea of the original bill was to start having a very serious conversation about how we choose to help our students make better choices in what they eat and the obesity epidemic, of which I am a contributing member. We have to continue to have conversations about how kids make choices about what they eat. And what the bill did is it said that the school should not have things for those children that take them in the wrong direction. But as you, if you go to a school, as we talked about, in any classroom or any cafeteria, you will see much of the stuff that we've banned in those cafeterias today. Because parents still have the right to take whatever they put whatever they want in their kids' lunch pail. A more important part of this bill is that we are having the conversation about what people should be eating. And right now, the way it's written, teachers in high schools who are diabetic, as I am, have a choice to go and take a can of Diet Pop out of their machine. If they forgot to put it in their lunch, if they didn't do otherwise, they have the opportunity to do that. And at an elementary school, they do not, because the standards we put in place are different. Trying to make sure that people understand that as you grow, what you put into you makes a difference. It's all about teaching people to make appropriate choices. It's not about taking away all choices so they can't help but do the right thing. It's about making conversations which help people make really good choices. And as I talked about once before, I had the opportunity to work with the drill teams and dance teams at our school and watch student leaders on those teams get in meetings with their team and explain to them, we're getting ready for competition. Stop eating any sugar. Stop eating this. Stop eating this. Here's what you're supposed to eat. I saw some of the best demonstrations of how to eat healthy from other students teaching them that if you want to be in peak performance, this is what you need to do. We need to keep having those conversations with people. We need to keep encouraging kids to have those conversations. But this bill is about allowing it to go back, and if we want to bring back a bill and up front have a conversation about this, we should do it. It didn't happen in the last bill, and I urge that you consider that and consider what you're going to be doing this whole session about how do we fix things which have unintended consequences. And so I urge you to vote aye. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I remember sitting on a school board in 2007 when this bill was passed in its original format. I also remember the frustration I and many others in my school district felt as once again the legislature was telling us how to run our schools. Now that I'm a legislator, I hope I remain mindful of that moment. I realize some decisions need to emanate from this body. However, I don't believe this issue should. This bill gives back some discretion to school districts. Remember, school districts don't have to put the vending machines back in the schools, in the teacher's lounge. As we know, we are all struggling with these tough times. I either am in or visit or chat with my schools absolutely weekly, and the sentiment is the same in all the buildings. People are scared and they're stressed. There will be budget cuts. There already have been. There will be layoffs. There will be very important programs eliminated. These factors add to the already difficult tasks that our teachers and staff have every day. If I can send the message to my schools that I value their work by allowing the option the option of returning vending machines, then I'm going to do that. I've heard the concern that teachers and staff need to model appropriate behavior, and I could not agree more. However, I don't think that idea is predicated on whether or not there's a vending machine in the building. The worst example of personal health and fitness my son has ever witnessed in school came a few years ago from, sadly, a PE teacher. This person had a daily lunch of a 32-ounce Mountain Dew and a bag of potato chips, oftentimes eaten in front of that child, in front of the whole class. This lunch, if you will, was never purchased from a vending machine and was not purchased on the school campus. It was brought in every day. The lack of a vending machine in the teacher's lounge does not give assurance that appropriate health habits will be modeled. I am supporting this bill, and I hope to send a message to schools that I trust them to make decisions in the best interest of my son and the thousands of other kids in our state. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to declare a potential conflict.
State your conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am the chief executive officer of a soft drink production and distribution company and also a member of a limited liability full-line vending company.
Thank you. So noted for the record. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Greenlink, do you wish to close? We'll try you on your new mic, and if that doesn't work, we'll move you to another desk.
All right. Tasting, tasting. Looks like it's working, huh? If you miss any of my golden words in my opening, I'll be happy to repeat them. Or maybe not. Let me start with my personal credentials, which is probably worthwhile. I don't think there's anybody in this room who's been fighting for the health of our public longer or more seriously than I am. I've spent my life dealing with health behavior from a research perspective and from a public policy perspective. You don't have to convince me about how important it is to model the right behavior. But if we're talking about hypocrisy, let's imagine a mind game. Let's say we had a bill in front of us today that applied the school standards in 2650 to the Capitol building so that the cafeteria downstairs could only sell things according to the standards in House Bill 2650. It'd be a wonderful public health thing. We ought to do that. The gift shop could only sell things that were applied to this standard. It would be really a good public health thing. Well, everybody who votes against this bill, please join me in that bill. Our lounges, we could only sell things that meet this standard, would be an appropriate bill. So we can lead in this. We can turn the state capitol into an elementary school. Certainly our employee, our staff areas upstairs, we certainly should apply the same standards that we're applying to the fourth grade. That makes sense, right? We need to lead this. We're the leaders of this state. We need to be there. Well, you know what would happen to a bill like that. It would go nowhere. Now, the word on the floor is that I'm responding to pressures from a constituent. I don't have a constituent who's giving me any pressure on this one. Let me tell you what I am responding to. I have a daughter who's an elementary school teacher. She's a master teacher. And she's now looking forward to retirement. And she says she wants to retire so she can get a job that people will respect her, that people will care about what she does. She says maybe like a barista in Starbucks. Now, I think that's not a unique attitude among our teachers. That's an attitude, when you go out and talk to your teachers, your constituents who are teachers, they feel disrespected. This bill is about disrespecting teachers. And if it had been explicit when we debated this bill that the effect of the bill would be going to teachers' lounges and pull the plug on their vending machine, I would not have voted for this bill. nor I believe what others of you had voted for this bill. We have enough problems in our education system now. The system feels under pressure. It is under pressure. We're all under pressure. And to add one more piece to that pressure in a completely trivial way by saying that the teachers can't buy a Diet Coke in their lounge, I think is absurd. I urge you all to correct a minor problem we made when we passed 2650 and to support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes no. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Smith votes no. Representative Call, how do you vote? Call votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Representative Barton? Representative Barton off the floor. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes no. Representative Bailey, how do you vote? Bailey votes no. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes no. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes no. House Bill 2419, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2495, relating to records of State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation, declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of House Bill 2495. Colleagues, if we could have a little bit more quiet in the chamber, please. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2495 comes to you from the House Business and Labor Committee on a unanimous vote. The purpose of this bill is quite simple. It is designed to give the public a single, proven means to obtain public records held by SAFE Corporation. SAFE will be under the same public records law as all other public bodies and subject to the same exceptions for disclosure that have been enacted by the legislature over the years. For example, as the law stands today, SAFE could be required to disclose personal records of its employees, which could be used for identity theft. Also, SAFE would have to disclose all security and safety plans currently in place for the protection of its employees and its buildings. Making SAFE subject to public records law would clearly establish the right of the public to petition the Attorney General for review of any dispute that may arise over access to SAFE's records. House Bill 2495 also provides conditional access to business records that would not ordinarily be shared with a business competitor. Other state entities that sell a product or service, such as OHSU and Oregon Corrections Enterprises, already have similar provisions. This bill maintains the existing confidentiality of injured worker claim files and employer account records. It also incorporates a more complete definition of these records as recommended by the Department of Justice. Members of this assembly may recall that SAFE Corporation, Liberty Northwest Insurance Company, and Oregonians for Sound Economic Policy have not always seen eye to eye. I am pleased to report to you here today that all three of these organizations testified in full support of this bill before our committee. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2495.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Briefly to the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. Speaker, this is just another example of people of differing perspectives coming together and to cooperate on, for the safety, health, and welfare of this state. Another example is our cancer presumption bill, our court recording bill, and I'm hoping this trend continues on medical marijuana regulation, land use, gravel, and a long list of other good things that will help this great state well into the future. Thank you, Mr. Good bill. Should pass. I urge your vote.
Is there further discussion? Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to declare a potential conflict of interest.
State your conflict, please.
A member of my household works for SAFE.
Thank you. So noted for the record. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Witt, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Yeltsin. 49, Tomei.
Representative Brune, how do you vote? Brune votes aye. House Bill 2495, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2540, related to unemployment insurance compensation taxes for musicians.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2540. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2540 improves the law when it comes to musicians and the relationship between musicians and the venues in which they play. There's been a peculiarity in the law that most entertainment lawyers that we could find, certainly musicians were unaware of and venue providers were unaware of, that says in the contract between the musician and the venue, it must declare who's responsible for unemployment insurance taxes. And if it does not, the musician is presumed to be an employee. Now, that's presented a lot of difficulties because it has been interpreted by both an AG opinion based on the Boley PGE clear meaning of the law that the independent contractor test cannot be used when it comes to musicians because the law says very clearly that if there's no language in there regarding this, that they would automatically fall back to employee status. So the venues, musicians, the restaurant association all came together and said, you know, this is a very outdated bill that doesn't take into account how the music world actually operates today. And so what this bill does is it repeals ORS 657506. And what it does is it defaults back to the independent contractor test. We've had some really absurd situations in the auditing of various music venues where national acts who might come through Oregon only once every 3 years have been deemed to be employees of, say, the Rose Garden or, in this case, Mississippi Studios in my district. So I would appreciate your I vote on House Bill 2540. Again, it's supported by the Oregon Restaurant Association, the Musicians Union, music venues throughout Oregon, and there is no opposition that I know of. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. I know you touched on the independent contractor test in your delivery. I just wanted to make sure that it was on the record that this bill does not exclude musicians from going through an independent contractor determination.
Thank you for that question, Representative from the Emerald Empire. You are correct. This does not provide for a carve-out for musicians. It just requires that the independent contractor test be applied to musicians like any other worker.
Anything further, Representative Holvey?
No, thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Shields, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. Speaker. I think, colleagues, in this very troubling time that our state is in, where people are losing work, where the economics of our state are very difficult, I think we should do everything within our power to encourage more music, to encourage more dancing. And in closing, I would like to quote the great English poet Peter Townsend, who once said, rock and roll won't solve your problems, but it'll let you dance all over them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2540, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 19 related to minors. Senate Bill 155 related to chief medical officers of state institutions is declared an emergency. Senate Bill 160 related to HIV testing of individuals in state institutions is declared an emergency. Senate Bill 165 related to mental health program services. Senate Bill 186 related to agriculture development division. Senate Bill 251 related to restricted weapons. Senate Bill 288 related to representation of individual with mental illness committed to custody of Department of Human Services. Senate Bill 428 related to members of the State Board of Education.
Bills read for the first time were passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Cameron to change his vote on House Bill 2419. It will not change the outcome.
Representative Nolan requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow Representative Cameron to change his vote on House Bill 2419. Is that the correct bill number? 2419. Is there objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Cameron votes aye. Further announcements. I would note, colleagues, that we will not have floor session this Friday. I would encourage you to continue to keep it blocked out in your calendar, since we are doing daily floor sessions, although, as I said earlier in the week, leadership on both sides is endeavoring to avoid Friday sessions wherever possible. That is definitely possible this Friday and next Friday, and we'll deal with it week by week after that. Any further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted to publicly thank the members of the House Education Committee who very patiently and faithfully stayed in the building last night until after 8 o'clock and listened to every single word of testimony in relation to the Oregon School for the Blind. I know that for some of our members on the other side of the aisle, that meant missing an important caucus function, and I would just really like to express my gratitude for your attention to this important issue and to the caucus for excusing your members to participate in this important meeting, and also to the committee staff and others that helped with extraordinary arrangements involving ASL interpreters and others to help have a great hearing. It's a great committee we have in education, and I'm very lucky to be serving with a bunch of Republicans and Democrats that are very committed to the future of kids in Oregon. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a constituent from Williams. His name is Mike Case. He sent me an email, and he brought up a point that I think is worth all of us considering. He says that since this is Oregon's centennial, maybe we should be able to obtain Oregon flags and that we should fly them at our homes, at our business, that we should make this a celebration throughout the state. I thought that was worthwhile. I hope that we all will consider obtaining and flying the Oregon flag as we celebrate the sesquicentennial for our state. Thank you.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Monday, March 2nd, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Monday, March 2nd, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.